The Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, Tennessee is the mothership. It houses the entire history of country music from the 1800s up to today, and it's all showcased and revered in a 360,000-square-foot multi-story facility. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and discover the magic of this massive facility with guide and music aficionado George Dagher, who really knows his stuff, as he plays in John Carter Cash's band, as well as his own, The Early Evening.
Hi, I'm George Dagher. I'm here at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville, Tennessee.
This is quite an operation, isn't it? It's huge.
Yes. Yes.
Understatement.
Yes. We have so many different facets to this place. We're part of the Country Music Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization. It focuses education and preservation of all the musical history, and it's an evolving history. And so this place focuses on not only legends from the 1800s all the way up to the new stars of today.
It really is the Smithsonian of music, Americana. This place is, what, three stories?
Yes.
It looks like a giant coliseum.
We go up at least a few more stories above this with event space and archives. So what you see here is just a tiny fraction of what we actually have in our collection. It's the world's largest collection of country music, memorabilia, recordings.
Just to give a word picture, how many square feet open to the public, roughly?
It's around 360,000 square feet.
Wow, incredible. You walk in the front door and you are hit with drama, with voluminous space. Tell us about how it works.
Well, the building itself has so much symbolism in the architecture. From above, we look like a bass clef. From across the lawn, you can see the piano keys. You can see the shape of the building. Part of the building looks like the fin of a 50s Cadillac, which is great. We give nods to grain bins and silos and actual records, and the WSM radio tower is part of the rotunda. And so every little bit of it has symbolism, from the stone that they use to the wood on the floor cut to look like grooves and records.
Wow, so nothing was by accident or happenstance.
Exactly. It all has a purpose and a flow, from the inside of the elevators looking like an old country barn to this fabulous event space upstairs, which is just amazing. And we've expanded in the last couple years, in 2013, and now we are connected to the Omni Hotel, and also we have Hatch Show Print here in
the
museum.
Let's talk about the Show Print. That's an actual printery that goes way back, that's intimately involved with the music scene here. Tell us that story.
Well, in 1879, two brothers, Charles and Herbert Hatch, first began printing in downtown Nashville, and we're doing letterpress printing, and it's a basic link to the first days of printmaking back in the 1400s with Gutenberg. So we make posters here in Nashville in the building now. We've changed a few locations. We used to be, for about 70 years, right across the street from the Ryman Auditorium. And that was very advantageous to us. So all the stars of the Grand Ole Opry, when they were traveling on the road, would simply walk across to Hatch Show Print and have posters made. And we're talking Roy Acuff, Dolly Parton, and Johnny Cash, and Hank Williams, even Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, folks that you wouldn't expect, like Taylor Swift, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney. They've all had posters made by Hatch Show Print. And still to this day, anyone that plays the Ryman Auditorium will have Hatch make their posters.
That's so fascinating, because consistently today, same thing is happening.
Yes, exactly. And the artists are better than ever, honestly. I think it's only gotten more creative, and they find new ways of reinventing themselves constantly with a collection of wood and metal type and hand-carved imagery and photo plates, and they've been using these pieces sometimes up to 100 years.
And how incredible.
It's a great staff. And it's a great way to join the history of country music, also with this unique, iconic imagery that was a part of the story anyway. And so we're also linked up with RCA Studio B up on Music Row. So those are the three wings of the foundation: the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum, Hatch Show Print Shop, and Historic RCA Studio B.
And all three are open to the public for tours, right?
Yes, on a daily basis. 7 days a week we're doing tours. We do a lot of family programs. Of course, we have our private event spaces, too. And it's just constant history and music every single day. And everybody comes from around the world every day to see this. And I've met folks from Sri Lanka and South Africa and Estonia and Macedonia. And, of course, people like folks from Germany and Canada and the English people, they love it. And I love it, too.
And let's talk a little bit deeper about RCA Studios. That dates from the early 50s, a consistent part of the Nashville music scene.
Yeah, it's changed. It changed locations a few times, with RCA Records coming into town in the early 50s. Now, Studio B was built in 1957 for around $39,000, give or take, but they still record there in this space. Most frequently asked question is, do they still record here? And we do. And Elvis Presley himself recorded over 260 songs in that room.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me?
It became known as Studio B when RCA expanded a little bit next door with Studio A. And so when Studio A was built in 1965, that's when they called our studio Studio B because of its size. It was slightly smaller, so...
And I bet when you go in there, there's a palpable energy source in there. Tell us about that.
Well, we turn the lights down low, and we play you songs like Are You Lonesome Tonight from Elvis.
Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
And you'll hear Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You.
Well, I would only be in your way, so I'll go.
And the Everly Brothers.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream.
Kathy's Clown, and you'll hear the great hits of Roy Orbison. Songs like Only the Lonely and Crying were recorded there.
Only the lonely know the way I feel tonight.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Only the lonely.
Chet Atkins was the manager and producer, and so you have this touch of class from Eddie Arnold to Jim Reeves to the great country voice of Charlie Pride.
Some old friends on the street, they wonder how does a man get to be this way. I've always got a smiling face.
All being recorded in this room. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, you name it.
A long time forgotten, the dreams have just fell by.
It's a pretty unprecedented history. They just don't make studios like that anymore. And the technology was limited, but the skills they had were great. And the music is priceless, and it is there every single day. So it's a very precious thing because a lot of these places get torn down over the years. They're forgotten about. Elvis recorded Heartbreak Hotel in Nashville in 1955, but that place is gone. And so Studio B is even more precious to us now.
I love it. So anybody that's coming to Nashville to savor the music experience, these are all must-do stops.
Oh, yeah. The Ryman Auditorium, the Grand Ole Opry, and then you have the Country Music Hall of Fame and our Hatch and Studio B tours, and they're just fabulous. It's fun, and it's historical. So it's not only, you're not only learning something, you're having a good time.
In the Hall of Fame and Museum, you talked about the event space. And that is for major live performances of current musicians, correct? Or is it private contracted space?
Well, we have a brand new CMA theater, and that can be used for both private events and also public ticketed events. And so it's been incredible. We've had Alan Jackson in there. We've had Diana Ross, Charlie Daniels. We had Old Crow Medicine Show doing an entire Bob Dylan album.
I want your job, man. You get to meet all these people. That is so cool.
It's been amazing. Even some of our coworkers have history with performing on the Grand Ole Opry, and so we're all part of the story, and we just want to keep the heritage alive and introduce a new generation of fans to country music, both old and new.
Before we go, let's talk a little bit more about the mothership and what somebody would see here at the different displays. I mean, you could spend days here, literally.
People ask me, can I do this in an hour? And I say, no. You might want to come back for a few days and really take it all in, because there are hours of films, interactive computers, from recording inside Taylor Swift's tour bus, doing a karaoke track, which the kids love and I love too, or you can go back into this old black and white footage and check out some of the earliest forms of country music before it was really popular on the radio. Even we have instruments dating back to 1851, and of course we have special exhibits that change out regularly. Right now we have Zac Brown Band's new exhibits. We're about to open up the Alabama exhibit, which will be huge. We have a Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash, and Nashville Cats exhibit, which is my favorite, and that's 96 songs you can listen to, 45 minutes of film, artifacts from Bob and Johnny, Neil Young. You can hear Paul McCartney and Simon and Garfunkel and Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn in the same exhibit. So it's very diverse. It all focuses on the Nashville musicians and, of course, Bob and Johnny being the figureheads of that movement. It just proves that Nashville, something's magical about this little town, and people like coming here for the good music and the history and the happy people, and that's what it's all about.
It's really fascinating to me. People like you, it isn't just that you enjoy and love music. You're a part of Americana, the music scene. Tell us about your story for a moment.
Well, I've been in Nashville for about 16 years, and my brother Dave and I have a little band that we call The Early Evening. It's a blending of all kinds of music, but we're brothers and we sing harmonies together, and so we grew up singing with the family, and that's a big part of country music history, is those family harmonies, especially gospel music. And we work in a band also with Johnny and June's son, John Carter Cash. And he has been nothing but generous to us. So it's been a real unique experience. Not only do I work here at the Country Music Hall of Fame, I'm also performing on occasions here in the museum for private groups that come through. And John Carter tells the history of his blood family. Maybelle Carter was his grandma. Her guitar is in the Precious Jewels. I mean, Johnny Cash was his dad. So
you're talking the 27 Bristol Sessions.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a chance to play Maybelle's guitar, it's one of those things that I just don't take for granted. I appreciate the history, and I try to keep it alive through storytelling and live performances, and I just have the best job in the whole world, and Nashville's been my home now for 16 years, so I love it.
You know what, George, if we weren't out of time, I'd hang out with you all day. This has been so great, but sadly, we've got to go. Before we go, George, for further information,
get online, countrymusichalloffame.org, and you can check out what we have coming up in the future. We'd love to have you guys here in Nashville. It's such a great town. And my name is George Dager, and thank you so much for listening.
George, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been awesome. Thank you for your time.
Pretty woman walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Do I see?